News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
But here we go, y'all. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5, 68 degrees, kind of overcast skies, going to be muggy and going to be mild today. And then we should see some storms maybe by closer to the end of midweek, maybe on Thursday, so we could see some of that. Meanwhile, Tuesday guest on the line.
Yeah, Quinn Hilliard joins us, as always. You can read his reading at Quinn Hilliard, at quinnhilliard.com or Washington Examiner. And, of course, pick up the Mad Jones trilogy at amazon.com. Quinn, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
So, you know, I follow you on Twitter, which I greatly enjoy. And I noticed this weekend, like so many others, you were tweeting a lot about the Masters. Personally, I felt that Scottie Scheffler was just too good. It wasn't as entertaining as I'd like, other than seeing whether Tiger Woods would be able to make it through all four rounds. And those were the two main storylines. Tiger able to finish, but Scottie Scheffler, who we'll talk about inflation in a little bit, but his net worth has inflated quite a bit over the last 2 months.
Mm. Oh, yeah. He is not just playing really well, but doing it in a very classy way. He's been on people's radar that are golf fans for quite a while, and he made the Ryder Cup team last year even without winning a tournament, which is very rare. But Lord, did he show up well this week? It was a breath of fresh air, not just to have a new face, but to have one who just seems like such a good guy and behaves so well, and again, is not afraid, you know, without being overbearing, not afraid to express his faith as well. And so I was really pleased.
Yeah, and it was interesting learning more about Scheffler throughout the weekend, and then with the win, that he's such a charitable young man. And then also, I mean, I saw you retweeted something he said after the win, where he basically said that was God's will, and that that even if, you know, even if he finished last on the leaderboard, that it would have been what it was, and that he gives all glory to God.
He wasn't saying that it was God's will that he won. What he said was that whatever happened, whether he won or whether he shot a terrible 82, God would use it for good, which is even better than to, if you say, well, it's God's will that I won, it's almost like, oh, well, God's on my side,
right,
and everybody else. But what he was saying was something more important, which was that God can do good out of anything, and that was a really, you know, rather than sounding arrogant, it was a humble statement, and I really like that.
So when anybody invokes their religious beliefs, even as sincerely as he does, it always makes the press a little squeamish, doesn't it? It's a shame, but that's generally the way they deal with it, is like, let's move on from that.
Well, exactly, and it's a bad attitude for the press to have, especially when you express your faith like he did, which was, again, as I say, a sort of a humble way and not a proselytizing way. He's not trying to convert other people. He's just expressing sort of gratitude. And a lot of the media do not understand religion. I mean, literally, I've seen over the last 30 years that I've covered this stuff, I've seen surveys of the media where they literally do not understand basic concepts of Christianity. And so they're extremely put off by it rather than recognizing it as an open, warm expression. So I don't know. I'm very happy with him. Not happy with the media if they react badly.
And I do want to get into some other news stories here in a minute, but while Scheffler is kind of the new face on the scene for so many that occasionally watch golf, those that have watched for a while have known of him, but Tiger Woods, the gift that keeps on giving ratings anyway, what about his redemption arc? And while Scheffler's new on the scene, Tiger's been around for so long that we've seen quite a few falls, and he just keeps getting back up. And to see him play for all four rounds when 14 months ago he thought he might lose a leg, just an unbelievable story.
I'm looking at the picture of that crash right now, and it is unreal that anybody ever got out of that car.
And I think a major part of his redemption has been his son, Charlie. Quinn, what do you think about that and kind of the new Tiger that's being seen?
Yeah, well, he wants to set a good example for Charlie. He has made that very clear, and he wants Charlie to see him at his best. What was most inspirational to me, and I haven't always been the biggest Tiger fan, although I've never been a Tiger hater either, but what's most inspirational to me is not just that he came back, he showed the grit and determination to come back and make the cut and finish all four rounds, but that he did it with a smile. I mean, even as he's walking, obviously in pain and limping, his smile was as broad as you could possibly see. And then in the interviews afterwards, if they asked him about, you know, how much it hurt, he would say, well, yeah, it hurts pretty bad. And then he'd give a big smile and he'd start crediting all the people that helped him get back.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of openness and grace and willingness to credit others, that's not the kind of Tiger we saw in, say, the year 2000.
Right.
And it's wonderful to see, and my hat is off to him.
You know, even the crowd there, the patrons, as he called them, cheering him on, he recognized that. He recognized it during the event. He recognized it afterwards. And again, that was never Tiger Woods either.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger Woods has had huge crowds his whole career, and they cheered him. It's sort of in a feral way. This is the dominant man, and they are cheering that. But there was, if you can characterize cheers, it was admiration and awe, but not love. This time, this was love going his way, and he felt it.
Yep.
And he was graceful enough to thank people for letting him feel it.
Well said, Quinn. Something that people are not loving are the interest rate. The inflation numbers, and the newest report out today. Press Secretary Jennifer Psaki was kind of telling everyone yesterday that these would be high numbers, but 8.4%, the consumer price index risen from March of last year, 8.4%. That's up from 7.9% in last month's report. And remember, back in December, the president said that the 6.8% inflation rate from November was likely the peak. Then in July of last year, he said inflation was temporary. It was around 5% then. What do you make of this now that we're up to 8.5% year over year?
Well, don't want to sound like a know-it-all, because there was a time 10, 12 years ago when I thought inflation was going to come roaring back, and I didn't understand the effect of technology that had increased productivity so much that it counteracted inflation. But that said, I was one of very, very, very many people who last January, February, March, was saying this inflation is going to come roaring back because of Fed policies and because of Biden's policies. And so I'm not saying it took any great shakes for me to do it. The point is, it was obvious to anybody who understands anything about economics that these policies combined with what the Federal Reserve was doing would cause inflation. And they kept ignoring the obvious, and they kept pushing things that would tend to inflate the economy, inflate the dollar. And now we're reaping the very bad rewards. It's terrible.
You know, also, Dalton, we had the story earlier in Three Big Things. His polling numbers now, you know, inflation up, polling numbers down. That's not surprising, but it is a little surprising who is now, not a fan of Joe Biden. People under 30 give Biden a resounding thumbs down. 57% saying they disapprove. 43% saying they approve. This is interesting, too. 54% of Hispanics give Biden no love on nearly anything. 33% of African Americans said they disapprove of Biden. And 22% of people who actually voted for Biden in 2020 all disapproving. Not good heading toward the midterms, huh?
Not good. And it's not just inflation. It is how terribly he handled Afghanistan.
Sure.
It's been his embrace of sort of the far left end of cultural issues like related to race and sex. It is, of course, the inflation. It is his sort of having to be dragged kicking and screaming into providing weapons to Ukraine. It's his policies on education that are going very strongly against charter schools. It's the crime where he's pushed a lot of leftist, you know, be easy on even violent criminals stuff. He's making mistakes across the board, and it's showing up in the polls.
It sure is, and primaries on the way, and midterms in November. We'll see whether that red wave comes to fruition. When we get back, let's talk about what if that does happen. What if Mitch McConnell becomes Senate Majority Leader once again, and McCarthy in the House? What will come of Biden then? Stick around, Quinn. We'd love to talk with you about that.
Okay.
You got it, Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, also the Washington Examiner, and he joins us on Tuesdays. It is 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. With Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, 23 FM Talk 106.5. Continuing our conversation with Quinn Hillier in just a second here on Mobile Mornings. This segment brought to you by personal injury attorneys Tobias and Comer Law. Now, April is actually Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and yesterday, Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile talked with a couple gentlemen and the dog Millie about work zone awareness. That's the week, and it's a great reminder that, you know, your life can change in an instant if you aren't paying attention out there while you're driving. Distracted driving technically refers to any activity that diverts a driver's attention from driving, but we all know the usual suspects, right? Texting, changing the radio, which is why we encourage you to keep it on one station all the time.
Yep.
Also, talking to people that are in the vehicle. All of these can be very, very dangerous. If you're a parent, it's important you talk to your teen drivers about staying focused while driving and setting a good behavior for those children also. And even employers, if you can remind your employees, this is Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and their lives could change in just a second if they aren't paying attention on the roads. There's a lot of great information at TobiasComerLaw.com and some great ideas for this Distracted Driving Awareness Month. By the way, if you need a consultation, it's always free with Tobias and Comer Law, 251-432-5001, or check out TobiasComerLaw.com.
No, we want to get to some political things here. Real quick, Quinn, before we leave, talking about Ukraine altogether, Finland, Sweden, now reportedly going to join NATO this summer. So there's more cracks in the wall. And isn't it something that, as it turns out now, maybe Putin and his army would have been best postured on the border, threatening, rather than exposing an army that seems to be kind of has lost its way, poorly trained, poorly equipped, undermotivated. They were more threatening as the boogeyman than they are in real life.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. And look, when he threatened and then moved into little areas at a time that were right adjoining Russia, like he did with Crimea and like he sort of did with those two provinces in the east way back 7 or 8 years ago, he did have better results than when he tried a full-fledged invasion. And he is now reaping the whirlwind. And look, to have Bielorussian and even Russian troops defect and start fighting for Ukraine, which is what we've heard in the last week, that's amazing, but it's wonderful.
Quinn, a question here on the text line. Gardner asks, is it possible that all this talk of a red wave may keep voters away, and then combined with some of the voting rules that were passed back in 2020, mail-in voting, absentee voting, that some of that could keep Republicans from winning with all this discussion that they've got such an upper hand going into the midterms?
Yes and yes. It's it's always sort of a tricky psychology. People want to be with the winner, so you want to talk up your side's chance to win. But on the other side, I mean, on the other hand, if people are sort of with you, mainly because they don't like the other guys, but they're not really that sure of you, then if they think you're going to win without them, they might just stay home because they think, okay, well, the bad guys are going to beat anyway, but I don't want to have to say that I voted for these guys who might also be bad. So it's a very tricky psychology, and the texter or caller might well be right.
And then speaking of if that red wave comes to fruition and Republicans take possibly both the Senate and the House, Mitch McConnell, the Senate minority leader now, was quoted as saying Biden ran as a moderate, and basically if the Republicans take Congress that they'll make sure Biden is a moderate, of course, by not allowing him to pass anything that's far left. What do you make of that? It makes sense to me.
Well, it makes total sense to me, and as I pointed out in my column, the previous three Democratic presidents, Carter, and then especially Clinton and Obama, started out trying to govern from the far left in their first 2 years, and all three times they lost big in the midterm elections, especially Clinton and Obama losing huge in their first midterm elections, and then they moved at least sort of more to the center, especially Clinton, and that's how they recovered. You would think that they would figure out that the way to govern is, if you're a liberal, the way to govern is from the center left, not the far left, because if you govern from the far left, you lose. And meanwhile, if you govern from the far left, I happen to think it's really bad for the country. So in both ways, both politically and for the good of the country, it's a good thing that McConnell is saying Biden needs to move to the center.
It's not like you got to look at a history book to figure this out. You just have to pick up a newspaper. How do they keep making that mistake over and over?
Exactly. I mean, people forget, okay, 1993-94, Clinton tried to push Hillary Care, which was even worse than Obamacare. He raised taxes. He started, Hillary was just nasty to the military. I could go on, and they got trounced in 94. Obama got trounced in 2010. You'd think they'd learn.
They sure apparently haven't, Quinn. Folks want to read more of your great writing. Where can they find you? Not only websites, but also on Twitter. What's your handle?
Twitter is easy. It's at Quinn Hillier, QUINHILLYER. And then I write mostly for the Washington Examiner. Google Quinn Hillier and Washington Examiner, or subscribe to QuinnHillier.com.
And, of course, you can listen for Quinn every Tuesday on FM Talk 106.5 right here on Mobile Mornings. Quinn, thanks again for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right, that's Quinn. And coming up, we'll turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. And also want to get discussion going on here about what temperature do you keep your AC? Whether you're home or away, winter, summer, I've got a story that tells you what you should put that number at
and
on your AC.
And it's nowhere near the number that most of us subscribe to, right?
It's ridiculous.
It's 830 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton. Hey, y'all, the AOC sports team, they are fantastic at what they do. They deliver superior orthopedic care to athletes as well as a unique sports medicine service to coaches and parents and certified athletic trainers. Everybody comes in under the tent with AOC. They just do a great job of outreach. And Dr. Christopher Patton, Dr. Cesar Rocha, committed to a team approach to manage sports injuries, and the AOC sports team meets regularly to discuss the ongoing care of the patients and to share insights concerning their treatment and get them back into the game. That's what it's all about. To expedite an appointment or to inquire about sports medicine coverage at an event where you're going to be, just call the AOC sports hotline at 251-380-SPRT. That's 251-380-7778.
835 Mobile Mornings, the phone number 251-343-0106. And looking at the text line, Dan, you mentioned earlier how we've moved into that phase with midterms coming so soon where the attack ads are out in full force. And Larry texted in, there's been a massive amount of hate ads towards Ivy from the Blanchard campaign. Larry says he's already sick of Blanchard. It's interesting because I said it for years, and I've only heard others say that they hate when candidates put out negative advertising, that they hate these attack ads. But you listen to Jeff, and according to, I guess, the statistics, that these attack ads work. And you had a quote from Bill Britt, who was on mm-hmm. yesterday, where he said that those numbers never, the hate ads never add to a candidate's number as much as they do reduce another candidate's likelihood of being elected. Like it'll move people away from certain campaigns, but not necessarily towards a campaign.
Here's exactly what he said yesterday.
Negative ads just run people's polls down. They don't lift you up. So I think what the super PACs are trying to do with Katie Britt and with Mike Grant is to knock them down. And I think that's coming. The only thing people know about Mike Grant is he's got a great story, he's very wealthy, and when they just don't know the backstories like you and I did.
So it's also interesting, a lot of these negative ads, the most negative ads, it seems, come out of these PACs.
Mm-hmm.
They're not one-on-one like Golf Channel G, but oftentimes it's kind of a shadowy situation where the most negative ads come from the PAC, are funded by the PACs.
It's kind of like writing an anonymous letter to a neighbor. Like, you're most people are willing to put way more on the paper if you don't have their name attached to mm-hmm. it, even though we all know what the real case is, that candidates approve of these ads.
Exactly.
Maybe not literally, but they don't mind them being out there most of the time. Speaking of that, Parker Griffith, I believe, will be on with Jeff Poor today at 9:30. When he caused a bit of an explosion in the Alabama media last week in the Senate campaign as he diagnosed Senate candidate Mike Durant with post-traumatic stress disorder without having actually met him or had him in the room.
So. And compared Durant to
Hitler and Mao, who he called Mayo. So we'll see what Parker has to say today on the Jeff Poor Show.
I mean, the Hall of Fame of bad guys.
Yeah.
That was when he was talking about taking the guns away from the citizens.
But, man, how entertaining was that?
Mm.
This Texas.
They didn't find it real entertaining in the Durant camp because I think Jeff's phone was immediately buzzing.
Yeah. This texter says, finally got contacted to take a poll. Took 12 years. It seemed to strongly suggest Lindy and even dogged Kay Ivey in a few questions. Yeah, you'll see that slant. Well, I've never been contacted for a poll either. But knowing kind of how things work, if it's put out by a candidate or a candidate's pack, you'll see that slant in the questions that they're aiming for a certain answer, right? Dale said, Is Quinn making the argument that Biden voters didn't know what they were voting for? Surprised by his ineffectiveness? Please. He's been in the public eye since the 70s. A complete moron. Biden voters and the vote packers own this mess. Dale continued, unfortunately, I'm left paying the bill along with about 48% of our country's citizens.
If you weren't tired of Trump, there were many Americans who were. And there were Republicans who were. And people on the fence, there were just too many of them that, the turnout was great because for Trump, against Trump. And you can say whatever the results were, may have been a little shady, but that Trump had a lot to do driving those numbers through the roof, including the numbers for Biden.
And I think a lot of those people also, though, don't live in the real world. And a lot of the people that voted for Biden benefit from the way the economy is being ran now. They don't think that they'll have to worry about inflation. It's until they see how much groceries are going up mm-hmm. and gas prices. So they didn't think anything of that. They were just upset that the president was tweeting a lot and saying things they didn't like, which I think that drove, like you said, a whole lot of people to the polls, just their dislike for Trump, not taking into account what would come with the Biden policy.
This is the worst possible scenario. This has been a bit of a nightmare or a complete nightmare. And would the certain voters maybe would have voted for the nightmare, because they were so against Donald Trump. But for most Americans, we've been put in quite a tough spot here, politically, militarily. Mm-hmm. Just about every way you can imagine, all this, is it, if this is temporary inflation, My hands up. I'm ready for it to end any time over the next several months.
Yeah, what was the term they kept using? Basically meant temporary. It went into the book of sake quotes alongside circle back and now the Putin price hike, inflationary. I can't remember. I'll have to come back to it.
It's so convenient that Putin price hike, that you have some alliteration there. So she's not going to forget her line.
How insane. Charles says, you can't walk back things you've said. How do you as a voter allow candidates to just say whatever and not hold them accountable? Yeah, I don't know if that's specifically regarding the Durant quote that's been played time and time again from back in, 2011?
Yep.
When he was telling a story about his work overseas in the military, and that he referenced how would you get crime under control in America, and said, well, what they've done in military is take the weapons from the citizens, and that helps things. So that's certainly been used well against him. Florida man, transitory. Thank you. That was the term. Transitory inflation. Mm. And they were saying that. Let me see. I have it in my notes.
I love this text line, man. They dig us out of holes all the time.
That was last year, I think July, where they were talking about the transitory inflation. Inflation then was 5%. The numbers today, 8.5% year over year. And of course, the number likely the real number much higher than the number they're putting out there.
That was transitory inflation in July. That was also the beginning of the Delta variant, which went hog wild for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got Omicron, of course, in December, January, when spiked those numbers up again. And now you've got the city of Philadelphia reinstituting the mask mandate for indoors. It's going to start on next Monday. They're going to have a week-long, they're going to familiarize businesses with how to go about it again, because we're back to that point once again.
Yeah, absolutely. I can believe that they're doing that.
And I could see even locally, maybe with medical centers, hospitals, if the numbers warrant it, you made a good point too today, talking about, if the medical community leadership says those numbers are high enough to do this, then we'll do it.
That was not my point. I think so many.
You're saying their threshold is low to get the masks back on.
I guess, yeah, because 140 cases a day is what they're seeing now. Mm-hmm. Which you mentioned, they're kind of tiered.
Right.
What they had already set, that this is when we'll put masks back on, and this. But I just, with all of the statistics that have come out, it's insane to me that any administration of any city would go back to putting masks on people. It's just it's crazy at this point, honestly, especially with midterms coming up. I don't know how they think that's going to go in their favor.
Well, that's not a political move at all. That's the medical advisor of the city of Philadelphia, doing her thing.
By the way, if you want to visit Shanghai, now would be the time, because no lines anywhere. You can pretty much see anything you'd like because the 26 million people are locked down.
Yeah, no lines anywhere, and nothing's open.
Nothing's open. The State Department, I mean, how creepy and dystopian are the videos coming from there? But the U.S. State Department encouraging people to get on out of Shanghai, Americans, if they're stuck there. And someone mentioned earlier about how many times, it's not necessarily their fault, but how many times the Biden administration has had to tell people to leave a country in this last year and change, here in a couple months.
Afghanistan,
because
of
so much has been going on. Yeah, yeah, so crazy. So I mentioned the this story that's out from, let's see, it's Travel and Leisure, all right? And I guess they ripped this report from Consumer Reports. So let's say it's from Consumer Reports. And with summer on the way, it's heating up. Today's a muggy day. We're sitting in the 80s now. Occasionally we'll be in the 90s before long. So lots of ACs running, and people are wondering how to save money. So Energy Star came out with recommendations for what temperature you should set your air conditioner in order to save money and use energy efficiently. All right, so here's the number. According to Energy Star, when you're home and awake, they recommend setting the air conditioner at 78 degrees.
Ooh, man.
78 at home and awake.
I won't be awake for long.
you'll sweat. And,
it doesn't take much to knock me out.
Pass out.
I think that would do it.
How about if you're away from home, they said you should set your unit to...
I got a guess.
Yeah.
94.
Close. 85 degrees.
That was closer than I thought.
They say if you're away from home, set it to 85. How about when you're sleeping? All right.
Okay.
We've had some muggy nights here. millions of Muggy Nights.
So they're asking you to create a Muggy Night inside your inside your home.
Yeah, you'll have to go through the fog just to get to the bedroom, to the bathroom. They said when you're asleep,
I don't need delays.
Set your thermostat at 82 degrees.
Wow.
When you're sleeping. Now, I've talked about my first child plenty of times in the past, sweaty baby.
Yeah.
That was with the AC down at 72. I think for her, I put it down at 66 or 67. So you can imagine at 82 degrees how much sweat would be dropping in the Orwig household.
She looked like a Russian weightlifter. Yeah. Power lifter. So sweat coming off of her.
Am I wrong to say traditionally I think men like it a bit chillier in the house, and women like it a bit warmer? That's at least my experience.
And doesn't age have something to do with it too? When you get older, you're more sensitive to the cold.
So you want it warmer.
You want it a little bit warmer.
Or just
you can walk into an older person's house. You're like, yo, buddy, what's up?
Yeah.
How about a little air?
Or just keep a blanket on you, like so many do. But what do you think of that? So Energy Star, 78 when you're at home and awake. 85 when you're away from home, and 82 when you're asleep. Just absolutely insane numbers.
Right, 84 if you're eating a sandwich. What does this all mean? It's 847 FM Talk 106.5. Dan, Brendan, Dalton, Norwich. Love to hear from you. 251-343-0106. And that text line is working well as well on FM Talk 106.5. Also, we'll let you know what Jeff Poore's got on the way. Straight ahead.
.852, wrapping up Mobile Mornings. Lots of great texts regarding the Energy Star air conditioner recommendations there. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOTJUNK.com. And I've got this list of customer reviews. This is a good one. So Becky left a review, and she apparently uses 1-800-GOT-JUNK fairly often. Her review, she said, they're always on time and not too costly. The workers both had great manners and worked fast. We were running out of room in the truck, and I was getting worried. Their attitude was, we have plenty of room, and we can do it. She said, great attitude. They also arrived early. And I've got plenty more customer reviews where that came from. So many people that are not just satisfied, but happy about the work that was done at their home or business with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They'll clean out your storage unit, take care of construction materials, office cleanouts, real estate junk removal and property cleanup. Heck, they'll just come by your house. If you need junk taken away, they'll come take care of it for you. So give them a call today and set up your appointment. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number. And, of course, online, 1-800-GOTJUNK.com.
Fresh in Orange Beach says, check this out here, Dalton. I live in a concrete block building with a window unit in my bedroom that is set at 60 degrees when he goes to sleep with two fans blowing on him. So basically, his night times are like he's replicating a game at Green Bay, a playoff game.
Yeah.
That little bedroom is pretty frozen solid.
I'm jealous, Chris.
Yeah.
Man. I
remember I used to do that too years ago.
I love it. As cold as I can get it at night if I'm going to sleep. But then I got married, have the two kids, and all of a sudden my temperature stays at like 70, 75. I don't know. I've worked them back down a little bit. We're at 73 most of the time.
How about if it's hot, the four recommendations they've got for us now?
So this is fantastic. And by the way, Ashley texted. She said those air temps might cause an increase in divorce. And this texter said, that can't be for humid cities and states. The humidity level inside your house would be in the 60% if you left your AC off for that long inside around here. Paul says they keep theirs at 66 in their house. So that article, they said people who live in sunny homes should keep their window shades drawn. Of course, that's common sense. Also, you should avoid on particularly hot days.
Check this out.
You should avoid running your dishwasher, oven, washer, and dryer to keep heat from being generated inside the house.
That's 4.5 months out of our year down here.
So they think on hot days, if you're at home and awake,
right,
which like you said, maybe not for long if you keep your temperature at 78 degrees like they encourage, 85 if you're away, and 82 while you're asleep. And by the way, don't do any errands around the house or any chores at the same time. Just an absolutely insane article from Consumer Reports.
In July and August, always set your refrigerator at 66 degrees, according to this report.
Yeah, just get a cooler, throw some ice in there, and keep your food in there.
Yeah, good to go.
Incredible, incredibly ridiculous article from Consumer Reports. New study. I think you're going to hear a lot more about this. And initially, I was wondering if this was a completely slanted study because of the statistics it pops out, but this actually being used by the National Bureau of Economic Research, and they found by using certain categories which states performed the worst and the best through the COVID lockdown era here in the U.S. They graded states by comparing COVID-19 outcomes based on the number of deaths, the economy, and the impact on education. Overall, the bottom 10 on the study's report card were dominated by states that had the most severe pandemic lockdowns and were among the last to finally reopen schools.
What are the states? I'd be interested to hear that.
So 50 overall, the last worst grade, New Jersey, because they were locked down for a long time, which these authorities said didn't help the fatality rate at all. They also kept their schools closed far too long and ruined their own economy, or at least greatly hurt it. New York, which was being run by Governor Andrew Cuomo most of the time, finished 49th, just ahead of New Jersey. You also have California, Illinois, and Washington, D.C. finishing very low. And the reasons, according to the study, high age-adjusted death rates, high unemployment, and significant GDP losses, plus they kept their schools shut down much longer than almost all other states. Number one for performing during the pandemic, and by far number one, Utah. Finishing way ahead of the rest of the states. They had they didn't have much of a lockdown at all. They also kept their schools open and businesses too. Nebraska, Vermont, and Florida, which are all governed by Republicans, those four states topped the list. They found that states that locked down businesses, churches, schools, and restaurants for lengthy periods did not have lower death rates than those that largely remained open, but clearly there was a bad hit to the economy of those states that did so. New Jersey and New York, of course, also had those crazy nursing home policies where they were sending people back to nursing homes into the most likely age group to not just suffer from COVID, but die. And
remember when both Cuomos had daily shows on? Because you had Chris with his show on CNN, and even on Fox, they were
showing the Andrew show.
Yeah, the Andrew show, which and his term, was you had the nursing home debacle. You had the debacle itself. You had the cover up, right? Mm-hmm. And then a little cherry on top. Hey, sex scandals. You're out of here.
And he had the
what a couple of years for him.
And I think it appeared that he was going to run again for office. Some news this week that apparently that's not in the cards. So Cuomo was going to run again. Like none of that ever happened. Absolutely insane.
That's a streak of arrogance. I can't even. I don't know where you put a number on that.
His first campaign stop. Nursing homes. That's what I would encourage. Coming up on the Jeff Bohr Show, Parker Griffith. You won't want to miss that. It's coming up in hour
one.
He
never says anything.
Also, Ray Mellick with 1819 News. Former U.S. Attorney Jay Town. And wrapping it up in the third hour, Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah, I'm just saying that Parker Griffith turned this state politically on its ear a week ago, so you don't want to miss that. 859 FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton.